Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2, presented by Smokeville Smoke Shop. Corey, how are you? What's going on?
I am delightful. How are you guys today?
You're delightful as well. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Corey, I want to start with you on the Deshaun Watson front. We were talking about this earlier. The disciplinary hearing for him beginning tomorrow with the NFL. There are reports that the NFL could be seeking an indefinite suspension for at least a year. What do you make of this whole situation and what the punishment ultimately could be for Deshaun Watson? And we talked about this earlier, Corey. I go back to the $230 million being fully guaranteed from Cleveland.
Yep.
I just can't get over it.
Well, it's not surprising. I mean, what's amazing is the success of the Pilot Corporation, because, you know, we see this over and over with some of these NFL owners. You know, obviously, you know, they're very successful businessmen, and you wonder how, because they're so bad at running their teams, but somehow they pull it off. I mean, that deal is still shocking. And, you know, look, you got to have your guy. There's no question at all that, you know, that's what puts teams over the top more often than not. But, I mean, they must have just put everything and just not looked at it at all and just said it'll all work itself out, because that's amazing. I've said from the start, these things usually get worse before they get better. You know, I still don't know that we'll ever see him play again. I know a lot of people think I'm crazy on that. But, like, the numbers here are staggering. Staggering. And, you know, I've had some people suggest to me, you know, he should, you know, 2 years would be enough. You know, he needs the chance to earn a living. Well, he's still getting paid. I mean, the money's guaranteed. So, still kind of getting that chance. And, you know, what I fall back on as well is, well, what do you tell them? I mean, there are women who work at NFL facilities. What do you tell them when you bring him in the building now? I mean, don't give him a massage? I mean, come on. I mean, the guy's, let's say what it is, he's a predator. And I just, it's an ugly look, that's all.
Well, we were talking about this earlier, Corey, and maybe I'm off base. Obviously, Cleveland gave the best deal. But I'd love to know how far apart some of the other teams were to what they did. Certainly there's a gap. But I don't know. I wouldn't think this would be like some complete on an island way beyond everybody else. Maybe I'm wrong, and it's just Cleveland is just that dumb. But I don't know. I feel like there are probably some pretty – somewhat competitive offers to this.
Yeah, I mean, look, I expect there'd be competitive offers. I mean, Kirk Cousins changed the dynamic with his guaranteed deal. And, you know, maybe inflation is just inflation and all the numbers are just going to go up everywhere and we just have to get used to it. And that's all just shocking. I mean, look, how much did your Packers give Aaron Rodgers? $50
million? Oh, yeah.
I mean, And now they don't have anybody for him to throw the ball to.
They do not.
So that's a good plan. And so, you know, maybe that is just life in the NFL. But I mean, it's 24 now, and you know, talk of 25 and 26. I mean the numbers when the number of masseuses almost matches the number in millions. It's a bad combination, and it's just, to me, it's reckless. You know, it's one thing to be reckless with your money; it's another to be reckless with your organization and your team, and you know what it says to your team. I mean, if you're one of the Browns players right now, are you believing in what the ownership does? I mean, or are you going, what the heck is going on up there? I mean, that would be my take.
Yeah, interesting point. Corey Curtis from News 2 on with us here on Robbie and Rex. So, Corey, switching gears to the Titans, what are your thoughts on the Jeffrey Simmons situation? Mm-hmm. Do you think that he gets a new deal in training camp at some point? How do you think the Titans handle him with 2 years remaining on his contract at this point?
Well, I mean, look, he's got 2 years left, and they can also franchise him for a year. So, they've really got him for three. He has to understand that, because I'm sure they understand that. They want to re-sign him. They love that guy. And I think he also likes being here and understands, this is a good organization for him. So I think both sides want to get things done. It's just, a matter of how big the ask is, and how much does Aaron Donald's deal throw everything off, Jeffrey Simmons can say all he wants. He wants to chase guys down the field. I'm sure the Titans would rather see him in the backfield than chasing guys 30 yards downfield. And what made Aaron Donald one of the great defensive linemen of all time is an interior defensive lineman getting 20 sacks in a season. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, I asked him if he thought he could be the next in line, to be the next Aaron Donald, the next guy to dominate at that position that way. But have we seen anybody on the interior, get that many sacks, just be a true game wrecker like that? I mean, the guy is unbelievable and as good as Jeffrey Simmons is, and he's really, really good, he's still not that guy. So I know everybody wants to set the market. I don't think that's realistic for them. I always thought, over $20 million would be the number. It's just how much over it is going to be the number. So, I think both sides want a deal to get done. It may not get done before the start of training camp, but I think it's going to get done into training camp. So we'll wait and see. And then it's how high is it? That's what I'm interested in.
Yeah, I mean, my thing with this is, if I'm the Titans, I like the idea of doing this if I can end up getting a little bit of a team friendlier deal than if he has a monster year. That's the thing. You're sacrificing the year of risk in which you could make yourself a better deal. But if you want that security now, well then, that the cost is that the team gets a little bit better deal. That's why I'd be interested in it if I were the Titans, but I mean, it's going to be interesting. And then Derrick Henry, I don't know if we're going to see anything at all on that front, Corey. But what do you think about that? And also, what do you think about just how he looked in the spring? Did you, as you watched him out there, did that give you any kind of a leaning on what you think this will be for him, this season will be for him?
He looked huge, didn't he?
I thought he did look bigger, his upper body, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's always looked big. He looked huge. I mean, so that was it. And again, I continue to tell everybody, the thing with Derek that's always made him truly special is his instant acceleration and taking, that 10, 20-yard run and making it 80. And, coming off the foot injury, that's what we're going to see, is does he still have that? Because you can look at him on the practice field and say, oh, yeah, he still looks good. I mean, guys, Eddie George still looks good. I mean, Eddie George right. has looked like he could play for the last 20 years. And so we'll see in a game, when he breaks that seam, can he still run away from people? And he could still be a good back, but what makes him, one of the best two or three in the game is his ability to pull away from those people and go the distance. And so that's what I'm interested to see, and we won't see it until we get into a game. But, I'll be interested to see if he carries, and I don't know if he weighed anymore or not, but he did look bigger up top, and I don't mean fat at all. He just looked huge. But to see what he looks like when training camp, gets here, and, to see if he wants to carry himself the same way or not, or maybe we're all just imagining things, which is possible. He didn't sound like he was expecting a new deal when we asked him about it. He said it would be nice, but he didn't sound like he was expecting one, and he didn't sound like he was demanding one either. So I agree with you. I don't think that there sounds like there's any urgency on anyone's part there, so I don't expect to see anything happen.
Corey, last thing for you. I do want to get your thoughts on the Preds from a couple of different standpoints. What do you make of Bill Haslam joining the ownership group and eventually becoming majority owner of the Predators. And here we are today on June 27th. July 13th is the beginning of free agency, and still no deal for Philip Forsberg. Your thoughts on that as the Predators and Forsberg hit go time coming up here in a couple of weeks?
Well, first, you know, I think Bill Haslam is really smart because he's allowed his brother to set the bar so impossibly low that there's no way that he can't be better than him at owning a team. Like, I've always thought, you know, whether you agree with politics or not, I've always thought Bill Haslam was kind of a thoughtful guy. And so, you know, I'm interested to see how he does. I have, if it was Jimmy Haslam, I would just be like, burn your season tickets, okay? But, you know, with Bill Haslam, I'm not saying that. And I think, you know, I think he'll do a good job. And so I'm interested to see how that goes. And, you know, will it be good for this organization? Because I know there were people calling out for it at the end of the year to have, you know, kind of a face at the top. You know, I think there's some people who like that idea. By the way, I've been on vacation. How long is it supposed to be until he gets a majority
stake? So it's going to be about, I think the timeline they're looking at is about 3 years is roughly the timeline.
Which isn't bad because that gives him time to kind of work into the organization and see what it's all about before he fully, you know, kind of takes command. So I think there's some merit to that as well. With the Philip Forsberg thing, I know everybody likes to panic, but in all of these negotiations, generally, deals don't get done until they have to, because that's when people are put to the test. That's why I always say, in all these labor deals, they need to get rid of the deadlines and just lock everybody in a room and say, nobody goes to the bathroom until you have a deal. Because you'd come up with a deal. I mean, if you said that and you gave them all the food and drink they wanted, said nobody goes to the bathroom until we have a deal, you would get a deal. You know, by the end of the day, you would have a deal. There's just no question about it. And so, you know, look, Landeskog last year didn't sign until the 11th hour, and last night he had the cup over his head skating around the ice. All right? I'm not saying that's
a prediction. A prediction for the Preds.
That's an observation. That's an observation. Joe, not a prediction. But so I do not expect a deal with Forsberg until the 11th hour when it absolutely has to happen, because that's when their negotiating strength will be at its strongest to say, all right, here we are. You know, the day before, they're going to say, what's the best you got? And that's when we're going to find out, and that's when Poyle's going to have to come with his strongest offer, and we'll find out how much Phil, you know, really wants to be here, or is he really just trying to drive his price up? That's what we're going to find out. And so I expect it to happen the day before. So we'll see.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by Smokeville Smoke Shop, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Corey, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to be with us this morning.
All right, thank you. And Robbie, I'm just curious, what number are you going to wear running pass routes for Aaron Rodgers?
I think I'm going to be 82.
You know, I think if you put the Bears and the Packers wide receiver cores together, you might have two NFL players.
Sammy Watkins is going to have a big year, man. Looking forward to that.
Sammy Watkins. He's on, his 17th team?
It's probably around there.
Neither team can compare to the Lions and the restoring of the roar that's going on there. So,
dude,
sorry.
The Lions
eat your hearts out.
They have weapons. They are my surging. As much as I like to make fun of the Lions, they are my surging team of 2022.
Yes. All right, let's calm it down a little bit.
If Jared Goff can do anything, and he should with that receiving core, they should put up points. I mean, they've got weapons. They've got weapons.
Really, excited, Joe?
Man, I hope my kids aren't listening.
I know they got Jameson Williams, and I know people like that trade. They gave up way too much. They gave up so much to give him. I mean, why didn't they just give him Dan Campbell and his wife while they were at it? Holy cow. I mean, they gave up everything, and they gave it to a division rival.
Yeah.
That's a really Lions thing to do. But if Jameson Williams turns into something, then you're all going to say, well, Corey, you're an idiot, which just get in line for that.
Well, I'll say, hey, just imagine how good he would have been on an actual reputable NFL franchise. You know, that's what I'll say.
Corey, thank you very much.
All right, later, guys.
Now, we'll react to what Corey had to say. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. I want to get into the Derrick Henry conversation coming up next. Is he still on track for the Pro Football Hall of Fame? We'll continue that discussion next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Join 102.5, 106.3 The Game and Newton Motor Group this summer to help kids in Middle Tennessee. 102.5, 106.3 The Game is teaming up with Souls for Souls to provide shoes to children experiencing homelessness in Nashville and the surrounding area. With school coming back, our goal is to raise $20,000, which will provide 1,000 pairs of shoes for kids. But we can't do it without you, so please consider helping however you can by going to thegamenashville.com/shoes. All donations will go directly to Souls for Souls to give shoes to children in Middle Tennessee experiencing homelessness. Let's do some good this summer. Thank you so much for your help. Once again, that's thegamenashville.com/shoes. Newton Motor Group, a proud sponsor of Souls from Music City. Newton Motor Group, the best car deals in Nashville start at Newton. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Thanks to Corey Curtis for joining us in the last segment. Joe, there's, you know, an interesting thought with Derrick Henry. Number one, it was interesting to hear you and Corey talk about it. You saying he looks a little bigger at training or at minicamp this offseason? That's a scary thought if you're trying to tackle that guy.
No, I did think so. Like, yeah, and again, not in any way like unwanted weight, like wanted weight. Yeah, and I don't know, you know, I don't know what that means. And maybe he's right, because I do. It's like, okay, is it just that you haven't seen him in a long time? I mean, I'm trying to think. Last year when he came back, he did have a presser, but it was also a different time of year. I don't know. Maybe it's just that just hadn't seen the guy in a long time. But it did look to me like maybe like his triceps have triceps now. You know? Is that,
well, I mean, I've
is
often,
that sex-ceps?
I don't know. I mean, I've often.
That's six.
Yeah, I'm aware.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Well, I've often thought when I watch Derrick Henry workout, I'm like, well, those workout videos kind of remind me of myself at the YMCA. So, I mean, I can tell you, I've gotten a little bigger, too.
Have you?
Just not quite the same way.
Are you still as fast? That's the question.
Well, I don't know. In short bursts, maybe.
Yeah, that's the thing with him, and Corey's right. He's, you know, it's that, that ability to leave everyone in the dust, which is just completely contrary to his body style in the first place.
Yeah.
And it's not something you want to lose if you're him, you know? I'm not saying this would do anything. If we even perceive it correctly, I'm not saying that it would cost him any speed. Anyway, I don't know. I mean, if you're all muscle and you're already fast, I guess you stay fast, probably.
I think that's how that works. I am interested. You know, we talked about this last year as he's in the middle of this dominant run before the Indy game. You know, he had 2,000 yards the year before. He had won the rushing title 2 years in a row. He was on pace to break the all-time rushing record last year. Like, he was on pace to break Eric Dickerson's record before he got hurt last year, which you're talking at that point. I mean, who knows if he would have got there? I think he probably would have. But you're talking about back-to-back 2,000-yard seasons. Like, that by itself may put you in the Hall of Fame. Like, seriously, it might. But obviously we know what happened. He got hurt. He missed half the year. And now he's 28 years old. He's coming back in. He looks great in the offseason, but we'll see what happens. There are going to be question marks about Derrick Henry heading into next year. My question for you, Joe, is how much did that injury cost him last year in terms of maybe his path to the Hall of Fame? Because it was pretty clear he was headed in that direction, and then all of a sudden he gets hurt. And, you know, he very well could respond to that, but it is a big deal when you're on pace to have a second consecutive 2,000-yard rushing season and you don't get there and your season gets cut short. Like, it's hard to make that ground up if you're Derrick Henry. So how costly was that to him last year in your mind? And do you still believe that Derrick Henry is on the path to one day being in the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
No, I think it was very costly because, like you said, it's just you're on your way to – I mean, what you need to do to get in, if you don't have championships or some ridiculous longevity with numbers that are undeniable is like something that makes you stand apart, and that's exactly what he was on pace to do. No one's ever done it. Very well documented. It's very hard to get 2,000 anyway, and everybody who has had a significant drop off the year before by in average a huge drop off. Or I'm sorry, the year after, obviously.
Right.
So that would have made it, to me, it's like it would have given him a stretch of time where he was so clearly the best running back in the league and one of the best players in the league that it would have really helped his cause a lot. So that's a big loss, no doubt about it. And look, I think his case right now rests on the 2,000-yard season, but also on what he did in the playoffs in the 2019 season, which was remarkable. And, of course, I mean, there are a lot of things about that, including, like, the Houston game taken into account with those. Like, I think it was, like, the month of January. No one's ever run for more yards. I mean, there are a lot of things on the bullet items that are really traced to that run. But since then, he's had two straight playoff games that were very underwhelming. One, understandably so. But the bottom line is, year before against the Ravens, you know, that was after carving them up the year before that, you know. So he, to me, like, postseason success has to be part of it moving forward. Certainly, I mean, 10,000 yards,
yeah,
I think, has got to be. And if he doesn't, you know, get to 10,000 yards, I'll be stunned. Also, I mean, that means that basically he doesn't have basically another 3,000 yards left in him. Well, then it's not going to get there. He's got to get to that, but I think he also has to, I think he has to do more in postseason settings probably to be in position. But there's just so many different ways people look at it. And one of those ways is compared to your position, which is kind of the knock like on Eli Manning, right? It's like during your time, where did you rank, or how did you compare to others at your position? I mean, with Eli Manning, I don't know if anyone ever thought he was a top 10 quarterback at any point in his career. Maybe top 10s a little bit, but I mean,
top seven, eight.
With Derrick Henry, he was clearly the best running back for a stretch of time, so that's going to help him. But you still have to have some accumulation of stats that can measure up if you don't have the Terrell Davis really short period of dominance plus two trophies.
Well, the thing, I mean, he had 1,540 yards in 2019, 2,027 in 2020. And he was on pace last year for 2,000. Like, you're talking about a three-year stretch there where you have basically 5,500 rushing yards was what he was on pace for, which is insane. Now, you know, he could come back this year and he could rush for 1,600 yards and be right back in line towards talking about the Hall of Fame. So yep. I'm not saying, like, his case is over with. I did think about that at the time, though, of, man, like, that broken foot cost him a lot. It cost the Titans a lot. Last year, like, I would have liked to see it just from the pure entertainment of watching him run, but, like, I did think last year, like, will that cost him Canton one day? I don't know.
Well, and if you want to, well, you just said cost the Titans a lot, and it did. You know, they would have been much better off going the postseason with him, full go, wearing people out, all that stuff. But
they did finish this as number one seed.
Yeah, that's the thing, and you can actually use that against him if you want. If you really want to nitpick him and everything, it's like, well, so how come they lost him and they still went on from there to get the number one seed in the AFC without him? Now, I think we all know here how important he is and a lot of factors involved in that. I mean, there was just some really tremendous performances and some skin of their teeth wins and all that stuff. But it doesn't, if you're just looking purely at like his Hall of Fame case, you know, that's something that could be used against him. I mean, the 2019 run to the AFC title game remains the thing where it's just like, here's an example of a running back dominating and basically dragging a team that far. How many times have we seen that? I mean, it's in this era of football, we never see that.
We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Do you believe Derrick Henry is still on the path for the Pro Football Hall of Fame? 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Asking the question, do you still believe Derrick Henry is on the path to the Pro Football Hall of Fame? We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. I got a texture that says Derrick Henry's going for $15,000. In his career, he'll be the comeback player of the year this year. By the way, we talked about this last week. He is the favorite for the AP NFL Comeback Player of the Year on FanDuel Sportsbook at plus 350. He's ahead of Jameis Winston, Christian McCaffrey, and Michael Thomas, rounding out the top four. So Derrick Henry, the favorite to be the comeback player of the year this year.
Yeah, I like that. And I think he's a guy who would be very easy for people to root for. People like him a lot. And I mean, even if he has like he plays a whole year and he has like 1,200 yards or something, I could see him winning it. I like the Michael Thomas thought there too, because I just think he's really good. And if he's actually healthy and ready to go, I don't even think Jameis can screw that up.
Get Daniel Jones at plus 900 right there with Michael Thomas.
Come back from sucking your entire career with a team that has sucked. Congratulations. Hey. I don't understand that.
Marcus at plus 1,200.
Don't you have to? You have to have been good at one point, right?
Hey,
to
be comeback player of the year. Coming back to
yeah. Right, like coming like, back to how you played at Duke.
In Marcus's case, like
Marcus.
He was once a starting quarterback and he hasn't been, so I guess now he could be.
Well, Marcus in the 2016 season was a top, like 12 quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah,
statistically,
yeah.
whether you acknowledge it or not, you put him in your top 70, but he was top 12. So, yes, he can qualify as a comeback player of the year.
He skipped quite as many rocks that year.
Yeah.
More arrived at the destination before they hit the ground.
He did complete about 11 passes.
He did. By the way, I don't understand why he's even on the list here, but at plus 10,000, you can get Trey Lance as comeback player of the year.
Come back from being a rookie who didn't start? What?
Why is he on the list? Is anybody taking that vote?
I mean, that's like putting him on the list would be like Aaron Donald has a chance to win like offensive MVP. Like what?
Yeah.
Like he can't even be in the category. How is that possible?
I have no idea. So Derrick Henry currently sits. He's at 6,797. So basically 6,800 yards for Derrick Henry in his career. You know, if he has it, let's say he has 1,500 yards this year. I mean, you're closing in, because I agree. I think 10,000 is a number for a running back that means a lot. Like, you got to get to 10,000. I mean, this time a year ago, it felt like a foregone conclusion that Derrick Henry was going to get at 10,000. I still think he'll get there. I am interested, though. I mean, he's 28 years old. At some point, whether it's this year or next year or I think sometime soon, the production is going to slow down and slow down pretty significantly. You know, how much more does Derrick Henry have in the tank? And does he have another excellent year? Like, if he has, let's say he does have 1,500 yards this year and he leads the league in rushing. Like, if you're a Hall of Fame voter, and let's just say this year is the last ultra-productive year of his career. If you're a Hall of Fame voter, you look at 1,500 yards in 19, 2000 and 20, he gets hurt in 21, and then 1,500 yards this year. Like, can't you make a case then that's a four-year stretch right there outside of that one injury that's about as dominant as it gets at that position? Like, is that enough to put him in the Hall of Fame?
It's a good question. You know, it's interesting because I think one of the cases that could be made for him actually comes from the same franchise. Because Earl Campbell is a Hall of Famer with 9,407 total yards. By the way, at a time when running the football was
way more
prevalent. Everybody did.
Yeah.
No championships, no Super Bowl appearances. And yet, when someone – I'm a little bit surprised to see that number, but when someone says to you – I mean, I guess it depends on your age, but someone says to me, is Earl Campbell in the Hall of Fame? Like, yeah? What are you talking about? Of course he is. Why? Because for about 4 or 5 years, he was just a wrecking ball.
Yeah.
Who was – you couldn't take your eyes away from him. Not the same thing as Derrick Henry. Not – although he did have some long touchdown runs. He was – incredibly fast for his size and strength and all that, but more of a straight up just punish, you know, there's highlights of like the Rams game where the guy's rip his jersey off. I think it was a Monday night game. I mean, stuff like that. I don't know how close it was or if there was a real strong argument against him, but it seems like a no-brainer because of what he was for a period of time in the NFL. And I think maybe that serves Derrick Henry the same
Ring
way.
Ring the dinner bell.
You're in, Derek. There's a new one.
I was so confused as to what that was.
Yeah, my wedding ring hitting my coffee mug. Sorry. Shout out to Katie.
Yeah, okay, it was good stuff. I just think some of it, too, is just watching the game, right? Like, it's Hall of Fame is there's a lot that's statistically driven, and it should be. Like, there are statistical benchmarks that I think are really important when it comes to a Hall of Fame discussion. But, I mean, some of it, like, people are going to remember watching Derrick Henry play because of the combination of the size and the speed and just some of the electrifying moments that he's had. I mean, the stiff arm against Josh Norman, the 99-yarder against Jacksonville. I mean, he's broken off runs left and right in his career that are just highlight-level runs. Like, I think that factors into it. I think the era in which he's playing factors into it. I mean, people just don't run the ball as much as he does. I mean, it's just not a thing in the NFL. I mean, he was on pace last year. He had 219 carries in 8 games last year. It's absurd. I mean, he's on pace to shatter the all-time carries record for a season. Like, it's totally different the way that the Titans use him compared to most other running backs in the league. I mean, you know, maybe Jonathan Taylor gets to the point this year where he's close, but even him, like, he was used differently last year than Derrick Henry was. Like, I wonder how much of that factors into it as well.
Yeah, and with all this, and this is where we could get into the argument of the, you know, the market or this team or that team is going to get more Hall of Famers just because they're this team or that team. Look, this is a – people take this very seriously, and they argue over every little point, and, you know –
it's a little bit more detail involved than the Norris Trophy vote.
Yes, like Scott Powers in a particular room may have been talked out of that. Glad we could get Scott's name on the show again.
Yeah, I just figured maybe one more time.
But yeah, I do. I think that all that stuff can matter. Obviously, you've got those situations like Roger Craig and like I mentioned earlier, Terrell Davis, where championships. I mean, if you go down the all-time rushing list. Like, there's a huge, you know, list of people who have more rushing yards than Terrell Davis who are not in the Hall of Fame, like a large. But there's another one who is, Larry Zonka, 8,000 yards. But, of course, Larry Zonka's in, 72 Dolphins, you know. Like, if you're part of something like that, that's just different and special and part of NFL history. That changes things for you. Championships matter. I think Eddie George, I think another couple yards and an overtime win, and maybe it's a different deal for him. I don't think it's just because he played for the Titans, you know. But Derrick Henry, look, there's the difference between those two guys. Derrick Henry, relative to his peers, has been more dominant than Eddie was. Relative to his peers. Yeah. It was a great player, one of the top backs in the league, but Derrick Henry was number one, period.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Who has the better season coming up this year, Jonathan Taylor in Indianapolis or Derrick Henry here in Tennessee? We'll discuss that coming up next as well. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. You can go yard all June long with $5 Dinger Tuesdays on FanDuel Sportsbook. This season, all customers will get $5 for every home run hit by both teams when you place a $25 to hit a home run wager on Tuesday MLB games. And the best part about Dinger Tuesdays is even if your bet loses, FanDuel will pay you $5 for every home run. The Yankees, a very popular pick in Dinger Tuesdays, they've been crushing the ball left and right. Aaron Judge is the way that I would go. But you take it any way you want to take it. What are you waiting on? Just pick your home run hitter and turn big swings into big wins. There's no better place to bet America's pastime than on America's number one sportsbook. You can head on over to your FanDuel account or download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Just sign up using promo code ROB. Once again, that promo code is Rob. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max bonus of $25. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5-106.3 The Game. Make sure you listen for the casino sounder today through Friday. And when you hear it, text BALLY to 615-737-1025. That's BALLY to 615-737-1025. And be qualified to play the grand prize roulette wheel. All qualifiers will receive a number on the wheel, and then the winner will be revealed during the noon hour with the DDC. The winner will have then 10 minutes and 25 seconds to call in to win the grand prize. See what they did there? 10 minutes, 25 seconds, 102.5. Mm-hmm. A summertime casino getaway to Bally's in Evansville, the grand prize. Must be 21 to enter. Official rules and more information at thegamenashville.com/Bally. Speaking of the DDC, we'll have Darren McFarland coming up at 9 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Stanley Cup Final and the Nashville Predators as well. Now that the offseason in the NHL is officially underway. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, I think it is safe to say that most people would have Jonathan Taylor and Derrick Henry as your best two running backs in the league at the moment, especially when it comes to just pure runners of the football. I was looking on FanDuel Sportsbook yesterday. Jonathan Taylor and Derrick Henry both at plus 600 to lead the league in rushing this year. So those are the top odds, tied together at plus 600. The over-under in terms of rushing yards for Derrick Henry is at 1,400 and a half. So 1,400 and a half is the over-under for Derrick Henry. I believe for Jonathan Taylor it is 1,450 and a half. So 50 yards of difference there on the FanDuel Sportsbook. What do you make of this? When it comes to Derrick Henry back in the fold. Jonathan Taylor obviously is younger. He was phenomenal last year for the Colts. Matt Ryan now quarterback for the Colts. We'll see what their offensive line looks like. Do you agree that it is those two and everybody else in terms of just purely running the football now in today's NFL? And who do you think has the bigger season on the ground? Is it Jonathan Taylor or is it Derrick Henry?
Well, I guess it's time for me to bring in Pro Football Focus to the discussion. Let's bring PFF into the chat.
It's been far too long today.
Because they, yes, we don't do enough with them, really. We should grade their grades. Actually, just about a month ago, Ben Lindsay came out with running back rankings and tiers, okay? And I'd like you to guess which tier Derrick Henry is in.
Well, I'd hope it's one, but the way you said that makes me think it's two.
Tier one is elite. Tier two is elite when at full strength but slowed by injury. So I guess in that way, there's a little
caveat.
Yeah. But he has two people in his elite tier. Jonathan Taylor.
Okay.
Nick Chubb. Okay. Are the two backs he has. And Nick Chubb,
great player.
Should be remembered. But the weird thing about that is, couldn't you put Chubb in that second tier? Along with Henry, McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, and Kamara, because that's how he has it. He has those four in the elite, if healthy, tier. And then he has the other two in just elite. I mean, Nick Chubb's missed some time.
Yeah.
I mean, he missed a lot of time 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But I guess the way I look at it is there's a lot of people, if you said who's the best running back in the league, they would go for one of the more pass-catching backs still. A lot of McCaffrey talk. I think the injuries with him now have gotten
He's totally out of the
conversation. Yeah, well, I agree. Now, Kamara, I still think when he's on the field, is terrific in every way. And Dalvin Cook, you can't forget about Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook is special, you know. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
But I think to me, it's Henry and Taylor. And I think I'd go Chubb here, too.
Doing some damage,
dude.
Over there,
the hand talking today is just out of hand. Okay, I apologize, but I think I'd probably go those three are they're all more traditional running backs who play for teams that emphasize running the ball more than the norm. Yeah. Right? So they're kind of more old school. But even, I mean, all three of them are different kinds of backs too. But they get going downhill. They can push the pile. You know, you can give them a lot of carries. They get stronger in the fourth quarter. All those things. Those are the three. And I would, you know, that's hard. It's like, I would still, if you tell me Derrick Henry is just going to be what he was before the foot injury, then I'm putting him number one.
Yeah.
He's still number one. I just don't know the answer to that.
So I don't either.
So I guess if you're going to do tiers and injuries have to be part of, like, knocking someone down, then I guess put him in the second tier.
I mean, does this count as a bold prediction? Derrick Henry is going to win the rushing title this year.
I'd say so.
Does that count?
I think it does. Now, there's going to be other people who make that prediction, but I think that's a bold prediction because he is coming off the first serious injury of his football career. There are some serious contenders for that, and his offensive line is seriously a question. So, yeah, I think that's a – like, I don't know that I would make the same prediction.
Well, put me down for it.
Okay.
Derrick Henry is going to win the rushing title this year. I think he's going to have – he's not going to have 2,000, I don't think, even though I think we all said that last year, and he was well on pace to have 2,000, and then he got hurt. So I understand that's part of it. But I think Derrick Henry is going to – he's going to flirt with 1,600 yards this year. I just – look, until I see that guy on the field and he's not the same player, like, it's difficult for me to believe he's not just going to come back and be the same player. Like, the foot's healed at this point, so – you know, could he re-injure something or could he injure something else? Sure. It's that position. Quite frankly, it's shocking he's not been hurt more than he's been hurt with the amount of workload that he's had. So that could always happen, and maybe at 28, the body just starts to break down. I don't know. But I think he's going to have a big year. Like, I think he rushes for 1,500 yards this year.
Well, so if he wins the rushing title to the last discussion we've been having, I mean, that's another big one to help him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, if it's 1,500 yards, okay, that puts him at, what, 82? You know, 82, 8,300 yards, still not a huge number. But another rushing title, that's where it's just like, man.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of backs on the list of who have had 10,000 or more and aren't in and aren't going to get in. Like Thomas Jones and Tiki Barber and Eddie George, you know, and O.J. Anderson and LeSean McCoy. He had 11,000 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not going to get in.
No.
Will he even get serious consideration? I don't think so. Never at his, you know, he played from 2009 to 2020. He never was what Derrick Henry is relative to the rest of the league. And that's the thing people, that's what you can't miss. Like, you know, Steven Jackson, 11,004.
Fred Taylor.
And Fred Taylor, I feel like he's getting disrespected a little bit. Fred Taylor,
he's pretty darn
was a freak for a while. It's like, to me, he's a little bit different than these guys who just kind of accumulated stats. And that's certainly not what Derrick Henry's doing. I mean, he's doing this with dominance after an early start to his career, you know, where he had 1,100 total yards in his first 2 years because he was a backup.
Yeah.
You don't see that too often either.
You certainly don't. I mean, look, Jonathan Taylor is a great player. I think he's going to have a big year. But I still, like, I would take, for this year, I would take Derrick Henry over Jonathan Taylor. Now, you know, out of the backfield, I think Jonathan Taylor got a chance to have a big year catching the ball too. Like, you know, part of – we talk about that 2016 run with Atlanta a lot and how good the running game was. And the running game was good. But part of what made that team really good was Tevin Coleman – out of the backfield, catching the football. I mean, they use the running backs a lot in that offense in the passing game. And I think Matt Ryan will do that again this year with Jonathan Taylor.
I agree.
I'm not saying he's running like wheel routes left and right. By the way, still waiting on the Derrick Henry wheel route.
At some point,
that's got to happen.
It's a complete crime. It's a crime against football if you don't try that one time in his career. I mean, really, it really is. Like, you've given him the jump pass. You also need to give him the wheel route and throw it to him. Let him go high point it, you know?
That's the thing. He's 6'3", man.
I know. I mean, even if he doesn't.
He can't out-jump somebody?
Yeah. I mean, come on. Yeah, it's, you know, I'm looking at this. And Taylor had an 87.0 PFF grade, led all players at the position. And, you know, look, that piece on the missed and broken tackles, I mean, I thought that there was some value in that. Like, I'm reading that and saying, yeah, okay. I mean, I think that there's something to this, but he still was running past entire defenses last year before. That's the thing. And maybe you don't have a lot of missed or broken tackles in those situations, but if you are still hitting home runs, then to me that kind of offsets that.
What's the thing? Like, we discussed that article, and then I pulled up the Buffalo game from last year where he just changed the game with that run.
Yeah.
And you watch the play. I mean, I look, without looking at the analytics, were there some things that could be counted as a missed tackle on that play? I guess, but nobody was really ever close enough to him because he just dusted everybody.
Right. Yeah. So if that's going to continue, again, think back to the Seattle game. I mean, both of those games were comebacks that don't happen if he doesn't do what almost every other team counts on receivers and quarterbacks to do for them, to try to get them back into games.
Yeah.
I mean, if he can still do that, then I think you may be right with that bold prediction.
IndyCar is back. Single-day tickets for the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix coming up on August 5th through the 7th are on sale this Wednesday at 10 a.m. You can enjoy racing, live music, and one big party. Visit MusicCityGP.com for more information. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Darren McFarland from the DDC. We'll get his thoughts on Colorado winning the Stanley Cup last night and the offseason officially now here for the Predators as the NHL season has come to a close. All that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.